Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So it's time to shake it up a little bit and give you something a little different on the program. And I think that you'll find this very helpful. You know, often one of the things that is part of money and finances is what? Negotiation. So I've lassoed an expert, a ringer, if you will, in this area, negotiation expert and author Ed Brodo. And Ed has a book he's written, Negotiation Book Camp. It's been adapted from his curriculum, a 12-week course that helps recruits, quote-unquote, learn different skills until they can intrepidly tackle the trickiest of negotiations. The website is negotiationbootcamp.com. And we're very delighted to have Ed on the program. Welcome, Ed.
I'm delighted to be here. By the way, it's a good title for my book. We could have called it Negotiation Butt Camp.
Yeah, or Butt Kick, or Butt Kiss if necessary. I mean, whatever it takes to get the deal done, right?
Exactly.
Well, I'm really glad you're on the program because, you know, there's so many ways that negotiation, of course, is. It's you know, we negotiate ourselves through life, right? I mean, isn't that what life's all about, negotiating your way?
People.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I tell people. You're always doing it, whether you realize it or not.
And if you're not doing it, it's being done to you, so to speak. When it comes to our finances, you know, sometimes it's obvious you're negotiating the purchase of a car, but maybe not so obvious in other areas. So I think it's very relevant to today with, you know, people trying to sort out their finances and make smart decisions, even hiring a financial planner to work with them. There are things that are negotiable, whether people realize it or not. Let me give you a proper couple of things that people need to know about you. I mean, this is not something you just started doing. You've been doing this a long time. In fact, Forbes magazine ranked Ed as one of the nation's leading deal makers alongside Senator George Mitchell and Citigroup CEO Sanford Well. So, I mean, you're at the top of your game. You've been featured on PBS, ABC News, Fox News, Inside Edition, Fortune Business Report. You're all that, as they say.
Yes, I am.
So
guilty.
Yes, guilty, so that's a good thing. So help us first with, you know, kind of the basics here, Ed. You know, what should we do? I guess maybe a first step if we are going to be dealing with a negotiation. Even before we get there, what are some of the skills or things that we need to be aware of or traits that we should possess in order to be able to be good at negotiating?
Okay, I think the first thing is an awareness that everything is negotiable. And most people don't have that awareness or understanding. People fight with me all the time. They say, I can't negotiate my salary. I can't negotiate in the department store. I can't negotiate with the IRS. Well, you can. And the problem is that I think the problem is that we have suffered from our own prosperity in this country. So people are not used to negotiating. And we have to get into the habit. So I've created what I call a term that I call negotiation consciousness. And negotiation consciousness means that you are assertive and you challenge everything. And people say to me, oh, you don't really mean everything. And I say, yes, I do. Because I think that we are constantly being presented with things. We're being told what to do. We're being told how to think.
Yeah.
And it's very subtle sometimes. And we have to challenge it. Now, there are, for example, if you're driving and there's a red light, I suggest that you don't try to challenge that. But aside from that, I can't think of too many examples that I wouldn't say, you know, challenge it.
Well, if you do go through that light, then you better be prepared to negotiate your way out of a ticket.
And that can be done also, you know. That's a whole other story, how to negotiate with a traffic cop.
Yeah.
But the point is that people, in my experience, and it's a generalization, most people don't have high negotiation consciousness. That is, they are not assertive. They are not willing to say, this is what I want. Please give it to me. It's really that simple. If you have needs, and we all have needs, the whole purpose of negotiation is to help you get those needs met. Now, you were talking, just not an example you gave, was dealing with a financial advisor.
Exactly.
Choosing a financial advisor. How many people really interview an advisor?
I'll give you the answer. Not many. In fact, you know, I've written a couple of books myself, and one of them is How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Scams. And I wrote that book, Ed, specifically because I've seen so many people that are just unaware. They don't have the awareness, that consciousness that you talk about as it relates to understanding how financial people work, and they don't know the questions to ask. And so if you don't even know the right questions to ask, how do you negotiate?
That's exactly it. One of the things I teach is you have to do your homework. And part of doing your homework is knowing what kinds of questions to ask. You know, it seems so simple. It's not rocket science. And yet, we don't do it. So we have to learn how to, for example, interview a professional. If we're going to hire a lawyer or a financial
right.
advisor or a doctor, we tend to feel that we are the ones that we have to prove ourselves to them.
Hmm.
Well, no.
No, we're the customer, right?
It's the other way around.
Right.
They have to prove themselves to you. So that's why I said you have to be assertive and you have to challenge things. When people say you have to do this, challenge it. Even with the IRS. You know, people say you can't negotiate with the IRS. Well, the fact is that the IRS, the whole tax code, which I understand used to be originally was 43 pages or something, is now something like 73,000 pages long. Nobody really knows exactly what is in the tax code. So from you or I to assume that it has to be this way or it has to be that way, we're doing ourselves a tremendous injustice. You have to take a proactive position and say, wait a minute, I can this doesn't apply to me. Let me challenge that. Maybe what they had in mind in this provision doesn't apply to me here.
So it's about just not accepting things maybe as they're being presented. And you're so right too, Ed, about how, you know, the media and or those that want us to buy things or accept things as they are, that, you know, that that's the way it is. And there's a great deal of subtlety and also some that's not so subtle of all the messages we receive on a daily basis from whatever sources. It, you know, we have to be independent thinking when we deal with that.
Can I give you a really screwy example?
Sure.
I just got back from Europe a couple of days ago. I was in Italy. I flew into Chicago. My connecting, I live in California, so I had to connect flights. The flight from Europe was late, and it got in later than the time that my California flight was supposed to have taken off.
Wow.
And it was at night, and I went to the, I won't say the name of the airline, I went to their help desk, and I said, I think I missed my flight. Is there another flight to California? And this fellow said to me, no, that's the last flight of the night. And I said, are you sure?
Right.
And he said, yes, it's the last flight of the night. You'll have to stay over and you'll have to catch a flight in the morning. I said, are you absolutely sure? Would you look again, please? He gets back on the computer. He says, oh, wait a minute. He says, that flight is also late. And
how about
it hasn't
that?
Taken off yet.
How about that?
But, he said, the flight is completely full. There are no seats.
Well, wait a minute. Didn't you have a ticket for that flight?
He said, it's the flight, your flight left, but there's another flight that was late. I got to,
okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
Now, let me get the facts straight.
All right. That's good, though.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
You're asking the right question.
I'm listening to you.
Yeah. My flight left, but there's another flight that did not leave. But then he says, but that flight is completely booked. I said, are you sure? He said, absolutely. Well, you know what I did? I decided not to listen to him. I got on the train. You have to take a train in Chicago. I'm, terminal to terminal. I get to the other place, and not only do I get a seat, I get a seat in first class.
How about that?
Now, if I had listened, here's the point of the story, is if I had listened to this guy at the help desk, I'd have been spending the night in a hotel at the O'Hare Airport in Chicago.
Well, we don't want that to happen. Ed Berdow is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, and he is the author and an obvious user of the Negotiation Boot Camp, and that's the name of the book. It's also the name of the website. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
If you had a serious health issue, wouldn't you want a second opinion? Is your financial well-being any different? Make sure your retirement plan is the best it can be for your situation. An independent financial advisor can review key elements like stock market exposure, diversification, and fees. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to negotiate your way to first-class travel, listen to what Ed Berdow has to say on his website and in his book, negotiationbootcamp.com. I love the story, Ed, and I think it really speaks volumes to, you know, not being a jerk, not being obnoxious, but being persistent and asking for what you want And your example you gave before the break is just perfect. And I have a similar story, and it worked out identical in the end. And but it was because I was nice, and I was asked for what I wanted, and so it does work.
The point is, though, that you must challenge everything. Take nothing at face value.
You know, and that sometimes runs counter to what we'd like to, believe in the good in everybody and all of them, and that people intend well, but you really have to be self-determining, don't you?
You do. That's the whole thing. Can I give you an example that relates to finances?
Absolutely.
I had a problem with my credit card. One of my credit cards, they had some fee on there that I felt was unfair, and I called the number that they gave you, the 800 number. I got somebody on there, their help desk, and I said, I think, I want to complain about this thing that you've got this charge. And the person said, I'm sorry, but this is why you have the charge, and there's nothing that we can do about it. You have blah, blah, blah. So you know what I did? I hung up.
Mm-hmm.
I dialed back again. I got into the system. I got another person, and I explained my problem again, and this person said, well, it has to be this way, and she gave me a different reason of why it had to be that way.
Okay.
But she said, but that's the way it is. Nothing I can do about it. I hung up. I dialed back a third time. The third person says, sure, Mr. Brodo, I can see you've been a good customer. I'll be happy to take care of this for you.
How about that?
Ba-dum-bum.
There you go. You want to know what I did? I had the same thing happen. When I make the first call, not the second call or third call, I call and I hit the button for cancellation or termination.
Oh, yeah.
And those people are wonderful because they say, well, why are you canceling? Well, because you guys did this charge. We can fix it. Don't leave. But that's asking for what you want. I love that. So another key thing I think that people need to understand is doing your research. And part of that is also having a deliberate process and a step-by-step kind of leading up to the negotiation. You don't just dive into the negotiation. You think about what you want, how you want to get it, what you're willing to give up. And then you prepare, right?
Well, oddly enough, I find this ironic. Most people don't know what they want. Most people don't know what they want in life. You say to people, what do you want in life? I don't know. What's important to you in life? I don't know. People don't think about, answer that simple question, what do you want? And if you're going to negotiate for something, how can you do it unless you know what you want?
You can't. No, I know it's a rhetorical question, but you can't. You can't. People, I think sometimes because of that, people feel like they are just a pinball bouncing around in the pinball machine of life.
Well, if they're not challenging things, then they are a pinball.
Mm.
And in fact, I hate to say this, but I think most people that I see are pinballs. They allow themselves to be knocked around by life instead of being proactive and saying, I have more power in this situation than I thought, and I'm going to exercise that power.
You know, I can't think of a better example than buying a car. And, because it's such a classic case of you want something, because it is clear what you want. You want the car. But part of what you want is not to pay more than you have to. And, a lot of people, they cringe, they hate the experience, and it's because they go into a situation where, quote unquote, and I've had great experiences when I've been buying cars, and I've also had some disappointing experiences. So it's not always this way, but you feel like the deck is so stacked against you without knowledge. They are trained negotiators, and whereas a lot of people are not.
That's right. They're doing it every day. You're
exactly.
Not buying a car every day.
So it's a perfect example that you better know exactly. It's not just knowing that you want the car. You want X, Y, and Z, and you better have done your homework if you are not prepared to seize the paddle, so to speak, in that pinball machine we're talking about, and or being willing to leave, then you will be the pinball.
Let me, if I may, give your listeners a very interesting tip. I talked about negotiation consciousness. One of the other things that I teach in my seminars is what I call Brodo's Law, which is always be willing to walk away from a negotiation.
Excellent.
And you're talking about buying a car. One of the biggest mistakes that people make when they buy a car is they say, oh, I love that car, and I've got to have it, and I've got to have it in red.
Exactly.
And as soon as you do that,
you're done.
You're done.
You're toast.
And you have to be with a car dealer, you have to be willing to say, if I can't get this car, with a deal that I can accept, then I'm just going to walk out and go somewhere else and buy a different car. And you know what happens, of course, when you walk out, what happens?
I'll tell you exactly what happens. Can I do it? Let me do it, Ed. I want to do it. Then they come running out. You'll never believe what the manager's willing to do for you, right?
Right.
Okay. We're gonna take a quick break. Ed Berdow is our guest. Negotiation Bootcamp is the book, and .com is the website. Quick break. We'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back. Ed Berdow is our guest, and he is he's great. He's helping us understand this whole art of negotiation. And one of the things I wanted to go back to, Ed, if we could, is the, and I'm sure you've got all of this on the website, negotiationbootcamp.com, the traits of successful negotiators. What are some of the traits you see that are consistent across the board, different people in different walks of life or different areas where they're negotiating, but what are some of the common things that make them successful?
In addition to having high negotiation consciousness, that is the willingness to challenge everything, the people who are successful at negotiating, for one thing, they expect to do well. In other words, they have a high aspiration. This is one thing where Donald Trump and I agree on. I don't agree with everything Donald Trump says, but he and I both agree, high aspirations, that's the way to go. I found that the better you expect to do, the better you will do.
And why is that? Is that just your? That's not just playing mind games with yourself. It's a confidence that you're going to exude, and it's going to give you a position of power.
It absolutely changes all of the dynamics in the negotiation. If you expect to do well, you're going to behave differently, and the other person is going to pick up your energy, and they're going to behave differently.
It's infectious.
It is totally infectious.
Interesting. I love that.
So that's really important. One of the other things that I stress in my seminars that I think is extremely important and that most people don't understand is that negotiating, it's not about being a good talker. It's about being a good listener. We have to learn how to listen. We have to learn how to keep our mouths shut, because most of the time, if you're quiet, the other person will start talking and they'll tell you everything you need to know to get what you want.
Well, isn't that part of that whole thing of he who speaks first loses kind of thing? Is that
Yes, that's an example of what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's the for your listeners. That's a sales adage that when you're in sales and you ask someone for the order, you keep quiet after you ask for the order, and the next one who talks loses. So, well, if the customer says something, they're going to wind up buying.
That is funny. That is very funny.
And I, in my sales career, I've been in situations where that pregnant pause has gone on for minutes.
Really?
It seems like ages.
Really?
Where nobody says anything, and you sit there staring at each other.
Because everybody knows the deal.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like whoever can outwait the other side. So it has to do, you know, it has to do with how pressured are you. Are you willing to walk away? Are you desperate to close the deal?
Well, all of those things are going to affect your ability to really negotiate. And, you know, I think that's, you know, they say knowledge is power. I can't think of a better situation than in a negotiation where that knowledge of your adversary, if you will, and the other side is just critical.
Well, that has to do with doing your homework.
Yes.
If you've done your homework, 90% of your job is done. And once again, most people don't take adequate time to prepare and ask the right questions.
So that, and in the age of the internet, in the age of technology, they're really, I'm not going to give us a pass on that. We have so much information available that we ought to be able to do. It's not like you have to go and spy on somebody. It's all right there.
Well, I mean, even in a an interpersonal situation where the information that you want is not on the internet, the information that you want is in the head of that person sitting opposite you. And what you need to do is find a way to extract that information. So I have a technique.
Okay, lay it on us.
You ask open-ended questions. And I'll define that. An open-ended question is a question that can't be answered with a simple yes or no.
So, for example,
suppose I said to you, Are you happy with the way that I'm being a guest on your show?
That's an easy one. Absolutely.
That's a closed-ended question because you could say yes or no, and that doesn't tell me anything.
Exactly.
But I'll turn that into an open-ended question. I'll say to you, tell me something, David, what is it that you like most about having me as a guest on your show?
Now you've forced my hand. I have to give you something that's very qualitative, very measurable, and I can't just say yes.
That's right. You have to give me a long answer.
I have to give you information.
But you're going to have to give me a long answer. The short answer won't work. So what I've done is I have tickled you.
Mm.
It got you to talk.
Yeah, it's like a tickle stick getting a lobster out of the hole.
Well, I'm not sure that's quite it, but...
Well, I tell you what, Ed.
Face, I don't know.
All right. Well, I tell you what, Ed, we have run up and used up all of our time for today's program. We'll have to have you back again. Ed Berdow, ladies and gentlemen, the website is negotiationbootcamp.com. Book is by the same name. Lots of good information on the website. Be sure to check it out. Ed, thank you very, very much for being on the program.
My pleasure.
Okay.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland, and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.